Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Good evening, Valley Bible Fellowship. How's everybody doing today? Good. How's the triple digit weather treating you? Got that summer body you've always been wanting?
Good.
That's what it is. Man, it came out of nowhere too, huh? For all of you that are not in Bakersfield, California, congratulations. It's been 107, it's been 105, and we think it's just going to continue to climb. But that's what keeps people from moving to Bakersfield. It's only the tough ones stay here. So welcome, everybody. If you are new, welcome. My name is Tom. I am the Northwest Campus pastor, and we have been going through the book of Ephesians for the last couple of weeks, and today we are going to be finishing up Ephesians chapter 2. And if you have your Bibles with you, please open those up to Ephesians chapter 2, found in the New Testament, which is couple of books after Genesis. So if you would, open up your Bibles there. How was your 4th of July? Anybody just get out of jail? No? There was a lot of non-California compliant things getting lit off last night. So I'm sure they're coming for us. So, not us, not me, not me, totally legal. I got kids I'm trying to raise, but, 4th of July, if you were one of the ones that came out and supported us either at our, east side of town or northwest side of town, fireworks booth, thank you so much. You guys, that made such a difference, and it will continue to make such a difference in the lives of those kids. Just can't thank you enough. It's not the easiest thing in the world being out there with those little ones. We have some of them in here tonight. You do not make life easy, you junior hires, but it is worth it. Seeing those kids come to know the Lord, seeing them in those opportunities to be around God in ways that they wouldn't normally is literally all from you donating or you know, buying something that you light on fire later. So we really do appreciate you guys, and it's going to be so good. Those testimonies that are going to come back are just going to be absolutely incredible. So tonight we're going to get into some things. I tend to have a history of challenging anybody here, and it's nothing personal. It's something that I do when I read the scriptures, because the Word of God, it says that it's living and it's active and it's sharp. There's something about the Word of God that is able to really kind of get our own wants and our own desires right in alignment with what the scriptures say. And so if tonight you hear the Lord talking to you about something and it's like a peaceful discomfort, I just ask and encourage you just to lean into it. I ask that you would take it home and work it out with the Lord, because ultimately, I'm just trying to be a vessel. You know how, like, when you go out and you minister to people at the grocery store, or you're praying for your kids, or you're praying for your spouse, and you feel like God gives you a word or a rhema for those people, and that's literally all that I'm doing here today. That's it. And so as we get into Ephesians chapter 2, if you would, if God is saying something to you, lean into it. So let's pray, and then we'll start reading Ephesians chapter 2. Father, we just thank you in advance for what it is that you want to say. God, I pray that every single one of us would leave knowing you more than we did coming in. You've got this love for us that doesn't stop. I pray that we would see the reason for why we're here tonight, that we would see the reason why we are tuning in online. Guide us and lead us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Excuse me, I do need to take a drink. My throat, I beg your pardon. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 19. It says, "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit." That's kind of just a good reminder. It's good for a number of reasons. If you're a note taker, we're going to start writing down some bullet points. If you are somebody who maybe you have like a brand new Bible, or maybe you have a Bible that you've had for a long time and maybe you thought that it was just so sacred you can't mark it up, I think it's okay if you mark it up. I would start by underlining or highlighting or circling or boxing or however it is, put a star next to it, fold the corner, whatever it is, because this is a good group of passages to remember. It's a great group of passages to live by, because if you are someone who has made the decision to live for Jesus Christ, if you did it 5 seconds before worship started, if you did it while worship was going on, if you did it 16 years ago, if you did it 40 years ago, this is still a good reminder. And I'll read it again in verse 19. "Consequently, or so then, you are no longer strangers and aliens." Who would have thought in 2023 aliens would take on a different definition? It's a little weird. But this is meaning somebody who is not from this particular area. You are no longer strangers. If you made the decision to believe in Jesus Christ, you are now part of this, and we'll read it here and continue to dive into it, but part of this household. You are no longer strangers. Even if you feel like it, even if it doesn't feel so commonplace for you to live as a son or a daughter of God, you are no longer strangers. And I want to start looking into that. So for the first point here tonight, you are no longer strangers. What does that look like? I'm a real, real simple guy. So let's break it down. When was the last time you went to maybe a different country, maybe a different state, and you're like, "Wow, I stand out. There's something different about me." When do you learn their customs? When do you begin to develop a new routine? I had the opportunity of going to Israel in 2015. And that was quite an experience. I don't know if they had Starbucks. I don't remember. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, when you're in a new place, you're not going to want to go to a chain. You're going to want to try to experience the culture. And so maybe you're somebody who has never been to Mexico. You went to Mexico. You went to Brazil. You went to London. You went to, what's another place in the world? Jamaica. But you go there and you get fully immersed. But man, you still stand out. I went to Cancun one time. And you just lean into the Lord. "Lord, remind me of what I learned in high school. ¿Cómo te llamas?" And you just do your best. You know, but thankfully I was with Gennaro. And so I was just like, "Hey, man, you got to tell him. Talk for me, please," you know. And man, you start to learn like different different appreciations for the culture. You start to kind of maybe get a little bit familiar. I remember my wife and I, we went to New York and we were there for about a week. And you know, when you first get there, you're like, oh, Californians in New York, hey. And then you start walking around, you're like, we don't know where we are. This is incredible. And then slowly over time, you don't even need Google Maps anymore. Slowly over time, you start developing your routine. We had a coffee shop that we like to go to. We knew about this place over here because one day we went to Greenwich Village and, you know, we went to this place here. We knew of some friends who told us about this place. And then all of a sudden you start talking a little bit like them. You got a little New York accent. Hey, yeah, give me a piece of pie, you know, stuff like that. You start talking, you start becoming part of the culture. And it was interesting because when we had this privilege of being in Israel, there's some things. You stand out. We were in a train one time, and I won't say who it was, but a few of us started acting very American, and they let us know. Yeah, Matt and Cody were told that they were not a part of America, that they were in Israel. Because they were goofing around and acting completely out of the traditional customs. And so much so that these people needed to tell us, hey, you're not in America anymore. And we were like, okay, cool. I remember Al and I, we were going through the tour and we were learning some things. We were back at the hotel and, you know, we're reading the Bible and we're, oh, remember when we saw and blah, 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 blah. And this Jewish gentleman was sitting next to us and he goes, where are you guys from? I'm like, oh, we're from the United States, from California. And he goes, it's encouraging to watch you guys. He said, you believe you found your Messiah. I'm still waiting for mine. And just being there. Furthermore, you know, we're on this tour and we get off on this place and, you know, they got their little tourist attractions and they're trying to sell you like these little trinkets and little things. And I knew nothing. I'm not worldly educated by any means. I don't know where things and what things mean. And so we get out and they have like these, for the lack of a better word, like these scarves that they're selling. I think they're called shamas. And they've got a particular pattern to them, kind of like a checkered pattern. And this one, I think, was black and white. And so I'm like, yeah. However many shekels that is, cool. Like, I'll take it, whatever. You know, and I'm sitting there, like, putting it on, trying to look all cool, like I know what I'm doing, you know. And then we go to this Jewish part of this particular community. And I got pride. I'm a man. And I walk in, and this guy goes, hey, you're wearing a shema. This is Jewish territory. And I looked at him, I said, I know. I didn't know. And I was just wearing this thing thinking like, yeah, obviously it's okay for me to wear this here because I got it here. I mean, I got it 10 steps outside of this place. But what the gentleman was telling me was, you can't wear that here. Because there are certain rules and customs that we have to learn to live by if we're going to be in these new places, in these new territories. Because it was completely obvious that we were American. People tried robbing from us because we went down to Jerusalem and we were probably all just like super giddy because we're in Jerusalem. And it was just this experience that we were very much outside of our element. And I'm sure you've been there. You might have gone to a party one time. You might have gone to like, you know, something super fancy and you don't necessarily consider yourself a fancy person. Or maybe you are a certain kind of occupation or a certain career and you went to a maybe like a higher class, you know, party or whatever. And you have these moments of feeling uncomfortable or maybe feeling like you don't belong. And then insert coming to a place like this. Insert Paul writing here and saying, you are no longer needing to feel like that. You no longer need to feel like an outcast. Now, again, I like to poke, I like to jab, I like to kind of push us a little bit outside of our comfort zone. There's probably a reason why you do feel like an outcast. Now, if you gave your life to the Lord during worship or gave your life to the Lord 5 seconds ago, yeah, obviously this is all still new to you. But if you are somebody who has been following the Lord for years and you still feel like an outcast, what does your life look like? How much time do you spend in the Word of God? If I can put it this way, the love letter that God has written to you and I. How much time do you spend praying? And not over your meals, not over your day, over the ones you love. And not praying for them to have a good day, but praying for them to succeed. Praying for them to thrive, praying for them to be happy, praying for them in whatever insecurities they have, praying for them. You know, I've shared this before, but it's interesting. When I begin to pray for the people that I love, that would be really nice if those prayers also happened to me. It'd be really nice if I was like, hey, yeah, Lord, I pray for any future friends I make. I pray for any future people that speak into my life. God, I pray that you would bring people around me that would encourage me to follow you more. I pray that you would bring people around me and put me in circumstances that would grow my faith, that would stretch my faith, that would bring me to a place that I would know you more. But also, God, help me to see where you are in my life. I don't know why we're so terrible at praying for ourselves. I'm a part of this Bible study with a whole bunch of couples. And it's very interesting. We were talking about it the other day, and we were separated. The wives were all together, and the husbands were all together. And it was like, you know, we're talking about the wives and how we can support them and all that. And one of the guys was saying that, you know, he doesn't necessarily pray for his wife because in Christian marriage the two become one. But the reason why he doesn't necessarily think about praying for his wife is because he also doesn't then think about praying for himself. And because the two are one, he just goes, well, I just assume that she's fine. And I looked at him, I go, I do the exact same thing. Like, sure, I do. I pray, oh, I pray that my wife is, you know, she has a good day. My wife's an ER nurse. And I pray that she's able to look at the things that she has to look at, and I hope she's okay, and you know, give her an easy day, you know, just, well, whatever that looks like in the ER. But, you know, God, please do those things. But up until that point, I had realized that because I'm not necessarily praying for myself like I should, it's also trickled to my wife. And so for you, those of you that have a spouse, are you praying for them? Are you sincere? Well, they really make me mad. That's not what I asked. I said, are you praying for them? Well, I'm sure they're good. They have a relationship with God. It's not what I asked. Are we praying the way that we should be praying? Are you studying the scriptures? Not to find something new that no one ever found and you get to get on Twitter and, you know, change the world. Not that. But are you studying it to find out how much God loves you? We just got done doing the serve week, and it was great. We loved it. Absolutely amazing time. Have you continued serving? Have you continued to love the people around you? It's interesting. Because God is saying, hey, you are no longer strangers to the good news. You hold the good news. But if we don't know the good news, truly. Now, I'm not saying, you know, right now, give me the verse that tells me that you are saved and you're going to heaven. I'm not saying that. But do you know, like Pastor Ron says, do you know that you know that you know that you know? Is there just something about it that it's like, listen, if I've never memorized an entire verse, listen, I know that I'm loved by the Father. Because when that happens, there is no shaking of the faith. Sure, you'll have trials. But almost to the extent that you just go, God, can you handle this, please? I got stuff I got to do. I don't have time for this person to be causing this drama. Oh, dude, and I had a guy message me the other day. Ooh, I hope he's watching. But it's just one of those things where you're just like, Lord, you right now. And it's not even like, Lord, like give this guy diarrhea. It's like, God, I pray. It's like, God, I need your strength. It's God, I need you. Not, don't hurt him. Correct me. Show me. Because I want to be a better person. I so badly want to be like, you know what, like those two like boxers or UFC fighters, they're like face to face to each other. You know what I mean? Like, dude, if you did that to me, like, come on. That's weird. I ain't handle, but I would love to be steadfast. I would love for the enemy to come to me and start threatening me and start doing all that. And I'd be like, bro, you're a joke. You know what I mean? I would love for that to be like my relationship with the Lord. But we have to understand that we are no longer strangers. We're no longer strangers. And I think if we knew this, if we sat in this, what would your prayer life look like? What would your relationship with your family look like? When the finances aren't coming through like you thought because the tax return is supposed to be here by now, maybe at the end of the day, the Lord's trying to show you, hey, it's me who can provide for you, not the IRS. Second point I would like to look at. You are members of the house. Yeah, see, this one's good. But the house has some rules. The Lord's house has some rules. You know, it's funny how we, like if you have kids and the friends are over, if it's just a play date, oh yeah, dude, you're on your best behavior. It's okay. I didn't like that thing anyways. It broke. It's fine. If they end up staying the night, then that kid becomes yours. And you're like, hey, get the heck off. Get off. Right? Like it just kind of changes. And sometimes what we expect is we want God to be okay with us breaking his rules. And then it's the darndest thing. Our lives aren't as good as we thought they should be. We haven't been following his rules. We let the sin stay because he'll forgive us 70 times 7, right? And so we let the sin stay. And there are these house rules that God says need to stay in place. 1 Timothy chapter 3. It says, verse 16, it says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Again, how's the reading of the scriptures going for you? Verses a day are great. But what if we gave God more time than just 5 minutes? What would truly happen? Because you know what's incredible? We see these stories in scripture, these men and women of God having these amazing testimonies, amazing miracles happen. They didn't only spend 5 minutes with the Lord. They were put in situations where they needed God to show up. Which is why it's so funny why we can't stand being in moments where God needs to show up. Because if a difficult situation means that on the other side is God, well then, in theory, God bring it on. In theory. I'm not saying that this is an easy thing. But the Bible tells us that God never leaves us. Like, God is here in this room. And some of you are like, it just feels so normal. It's like, yeah, that's the point. God is near. He's not far off. Why would he be? Well, because I'm a sinner. Okay, let's go back to verse 19, okay? You are no longer strangers. You're not an alien anymore. Why would God want to hide himself from you? He takes no glory in that. Sure, he hides things. It says the glory of God is to conceal a matter. But when we take more than 5 minutes to sit before the throne and we go, God, I need your guidance. Speak to me. And for the first time you hear his voice and you go, whoa, hold on. What was that? What was that? I either just got a thought in my mind that couldn't have been mine, or something happened that, like, that, hold on, Lord, that doesn't make any sense. That couldn't have been, that's not a coincidence. But there are house rules. Spend time with the Father. Pray. It's incredible. God bless you. We had a night of worship this last Sunday, and with each one of these that we do, it is like the Spirit of God is more and more tangible. Amen. Now, here comes a guilt trip. Why weren't you there? You know what I mean? Oh, was that Sunday? Oh. It's funny because, like, this isn't like a pitch to come to the next one. But truly ask yourself. Now, some of you might have worked, right? That's a legitimate, I get it. Stuff happens. It's not mandatory that we go both in Sunday morning and then go Sunday evening, right? That's not a mandatory thing. But if you had the time, why not? I'm not trying to come up with excuses for you, but check yourself. Because God's going like, I'm right here. And I will show up. And there were so many powerful moments. And one of our prayer people, it was incredible, Mr. Coleman, when you prayed. He was describing a situation that he had recently gone through, and he then began to pray. And I remember just standing back and being like, I'm watching a son talk to his father. I'm watching somebody who has gone through a trial and has come out the other side to know who his God is. And what an incredible experience. Thank you. Because I remember I was being like, oh, let this last for 4 more hours. Come on. There was something special about it. And there was something even more special when, with every prayer that we were praying, it was like the room itself was coming closer and closer together in belief. And with every prayer, it was like some more people were like, I think I kind of want that. And then another person got up to pray, and then we were like, I want that. And it just began to grow, because what it was is it was the family of God. It was the power of the family of God. Everyone coming together in one accord, being like, yes, Lord, do that thing. Only you can. We can't. And that's why when when Paul's writing here and he goes, hey, you need to understand a few things. This thing that God is building up, it's a house. It's a temple. But it only works when it's just us. It doesn't work when there's a human being standing on a stage and we all expect that human being to be the only one living for God. That's when it doesn't work. No, I didn't think that, Tom. I thought it was him, sometimes her. You know, like you think like it's gonna be these people up here. So we'll just watch them. I got a question for you. If you can put it up on the screen. What did you expect from church services? Are we supposed to entertain you when you're here right now? Like, let's think about this for a second. Did you come here to be entertained? People online? Some of you are the easiest ones to start writing complaints. That was wrong. Send. What did we expect coming here tonight? I hope. Did we expect to see God move? Are we really open-minded to see God move? Are we really in a position, or are we here to, I don't know, feel good about ourselves? You're sitting there with your spouse, waiting for me to say something, and you go, see, told you. Are we here expecting to hear a rhema? Are we here expecting to sit next to maybe our first ever Christian friend? And then now life makes sense? Are you here to find a significant other? Have we made it all about ourselves? Or are we here tonight because God is worthy? And we just literally just want to, God, you saved me. What else could I want? Because if we have this right, we are saved. But on top of that, we get the Holy Spirit, which is power. So if we're saved, we are loved, we are empowered, why do we still allow that sin in our life? Why haven't we turned around? Why haven't we given everything to the Father? You could respond by saying, like, because it's comfortable. It's all I knew. So then again, you guys, we are no longer strangers. Imagine that you have mentally, physically, spiritually have been taken out of that old land and now you are put into a new land. You've got to develop different habits. You have to. You have to. Otherwise, this doesn't work and you're gonna be more miserable than you were before because you know too much of God and his goodness to enjoy the sin anymore. But then you come to a place like this and you go, I feel so alienated. And God goes, why? You're not. You're loved. I want you to succeed. I give you everything to succeed. And you're like, yeah, but you know, I go home and those things are still in my fridge. You know what you do? You go home, you open the fridge, take those suckers, put them in the trash. But those were $15. And we'll do that though. It sounds dumb, but we do it. We justify it. I'll just finish these and then tomorrow. And you know what happens tomorrow? Your buddy comes over. Look what I got. And you're like, well, I don't want to be rude. I am a Christian after all. And the thing that I love the most is that God is patient with us. And he goes, you know what? You're the one missing out. Verse 22. Jesus Christ, in whom you also are being built together in the dwelling of God in the Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, it's us being built together. Some of you don't like what I say. Some of you, I shouldn't have said diarrhea. I'm sorry. But can we just understand that we together are being built up like this? You're gonna do things I don't like. I'm gonna do things you're not gonna like. Can you just pray for me? You gotta blast me online? You gotta tell other people about it so that then they don't like me for something they didn't witness me do, but you had to tell them because, oh, it just felt so good to get it off my chest. Because this, the world stands back and watches. And they go, you guys are, you're just like the political group. Shouldn't you be different? We'll read in chapter 3 that God is literally using the church to be an example, not to only the world, but to the spiritual places. God uses us to show angels and demons what's up. We can't pretend that we don't belong here anymore. Every single one of us belongs here. Every single one of us Christ died for. These seats should be packed, not for the sake of numbers, but because the news is good. The news of Jesus Christ is good. The news that God literally wants us in his family. And he's willing to work with us and put up with us. Like that's the thing that blows me away. I go, God, don't you know? Like, I don't always want to be who you're asking me to be. But then little by little, he just shows me more and more love to where what happens is I go, I don't know why I was acting like that, God. I'm sorry. You are too good. You really are too good. And I know people that try to push God away and push God away and push God away. And the Lord just still leans in and goes, you're stubborn, bud. And he still loves us. And what a disservice we do by saying we don't belong. What a disservice we do by saying, God, I don't think this is cut out for me. Because again and again, he will say, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. And you're like, Lord, but what about this junk? You don't like this, huh? And he goes, I don't like that. I still love you. I don't like what you're doing, but I love you. And like that weird kind of love where he's like, I love you. I love you. Like, God, you think about me? He goes, every day. Every day. The word of God tells us in Ephesians that he orchestrates the days for us. And it's for us to do good. And all we have to do, no matter how screwed up you are, is walk in them. And you go, that's not real. That can't be real. And it is. It's in Ephesians chapter 2. But if we're outside of our word, how would we ever know this? We have to read this letter written to us. We have to. Let's pray. Father, I don't know if the point on this side of heaven is to ever fully understand your love. But I do pray that every single one of us would grow in it. Father, I pray for every person in here, regardless of who they think that they are, who they have been told that they are. I pray, God, that the way that you see them would redefine them. I pray that a move of your Spirit would be so strong in their life that it would captivate their thinking, that it would truly detain their wants and make them submit to you. Father, you know that it is not easy as we go out. But you told us that there will be trials in this world. And you, God, have already overcome them. Help us to live from that. Thank you that you do not see us as strangers, as orphans. You adopt us into your family. Now help us to live from this, Father. God, if there's anybody here who needs to make that decision to live for you here tonight, I pray that you would put power in their legs, determination in their heart to come up here and get prayer before they leave. Guide us on how to live for you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Have a great rest of your week, guys.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King.